Clark Terry joins us in the Ciano studios today. Very special treat to have him here with his pianist, Don Friedman. Thanks for coming, Clark. Good to see you back in Seattle.
Very good to be here. I'm very happy to be here.
As a start from the beginning, what way back when, what inspired you to pick up the trumpet?
My older sister was married to a tuba player, and that's a big horn. I was a little boy, and I wanted to play the tuba, but it was too big for me. Besides, he didn't want me fooling with his instrument. That was his livelihood. But it did have the same fingering, and he taught me how to play the scales with the fingering, you know. So that's how I got involved with that. And then the band in which he played, Dewey Jackson and his musical ambassadors, they had a couple of trumpet players in there that were nice to kids. And one of them had a candy store. He really became my buddy because he always kept a couple of pockets full of caramels and Mary Janes, which were my two favorites. So they used to give me candy, say, "Watch my horn, son, until I come back." And of course, I love that.
So Louis Armstrong was a big influence on you too, right?
Oh, yeah. Louis was a big influence on everybody. Whether he played trumpet or sang or saxophone or drums.
And you ended up playing quite a bit with Louis, right?
Well, we had several occasions that we played with, yeah. He was a beautiful man and a funny man. He told me one time as I was playing, he said, "Son, that's all right." He said, "But you know what? You got to sing more. People like to hear singing."
You have incorporated singing into your act as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He gave that advice to everybody. He said, "If you play, you got to sing. People understand singing more than they do playing."
And you spent a great deal of time with Duke Ellington as well. What did you learn working with Duke Ellington?
I learned an awful lot working with Duke. Duke was very, very, very capable person of associating with kings, queens, and heads of state, and lowlifers or anything, you know. And he was very, very communicative with people. So I observed a lot of his habits. And even today, sometime when I'm in a pinch and don't know what to do, I think back and say, wonder what Ellington would have done in this case. And all of a sudden, there's a little push button, and the answer comes up on the screen.
Now, I heard that Duke would compose music, and it would sound in his, he'd hear it in his head, and then he would have the band play it, and he would just tear it up or burn it. Is that true?
Yeah, he did that on a couple of occasions. He wrote the Queen's Suite for the Queen of England, I think, and had the band play it, and played it beautifully, and he took it and tore it up. And one night, on a trip from California back to New York, he sat there in the first class beside a gentleman, and this gentleman was a real Southerner from the deep South. So he sat there, and they never said a word to each other, you know, Duke. And finally, when they reached the point that they were about to land in New York, the Southerner broke the silence. He said, Duke startled. He looked up, he said, "Twilight time, the lonesomest time of the year, of the day, rather." So Duke said, "Yeah, that's right." So this statement impressed him so much until he got off the plane, went home, and wrote a tune called "Twilight Time is the Lonesomest Time of the Day." And he brought it out, passed it out to the band, and for the most part, it was just a reed section because Johnny Hodges was playing beautifully. Doo-doo-doo-doo. And the band played it. Duke said, "Okay, pass it in." Pass it in. He tore it up right in front of him. He said, "I just wanted to hear that."
So you played with Duke and you played with Count Basie, two of the best band leaders. What was the difference between playing with Duke Ellington and playing with Count Basie?
Well, both were very, very beautiful people to have been associated with, but Ellington was far more knowledgeable, of course, than Basie. But Basie had the mother wit of all times. He had an inborn way of associating with people and tempos and tunes, etc. And as a matter of fact, a good example of that is one gentleman brought in a tune to the band, and he passed it out, and they played the tune, and Basie said, "What's the matter, Count? You don't like my arrangements?" "All arrangements beautiful." He said, "Well, what is it?" He said, "Tempo." And you know what the tune was? So Basie said, "Oh, here,
Little Darling. Yeah.
Little Darling. Yeah. So if it had been in that state in that other tempo, it would have been an also-ran.
Well, we're glad he changed the tempo on that one. What do you say we hear a tune now?
Okay.
Wonderful. And Clark Terry here in the studios with us today on 88.5 KPLU, NPR News, and all that jazz with fantastic pianist Don Friedman joining him today. You've played with so many people over the years. Is there anybody that you wish you could have played with or haven't played with yet that you just really want to play with?
Well, I wish I could have played with all of them that have been on the scene, because I learned a lot from everybody in there. When you associate yourself with people who are very good at doing it, it sometimes seems to help you.
You've also played for six or seven U.S. presidents as well.
Yeah.
And I heard a story last night. You were telling a story about Jimmy Carter. Would you mind telling that story again?
It was a Dizzy Gillespie tune. It's called Salted Peanuts, title of the tune, Salted Peanuts. And knowing that Jimmy Carter was a peanut man, he had a plantation down in Georgia's, and developed and produced peanuts. So Dizzy thought it would be a good idea to invite the President of the United States up to sing Salted Peanuts. So he gave him a little lecture in front, taught him how to say, now this is called Salt Peanuts. So we're going to play the tune. All you have to do is say, Salt Peanuts, all throughout the whole tune. He said, okay, so they kicked it off and played the tune, and the band said, beep doo beep doo beep doo, and the president said, Salted Peanuts, Salted Peanuts. By the time he got finished, saying the lyrics, the tune was finished.
Well, you were inspiration to Miles Davis as well when he was a kid. Well, a lot of people don't really know what Miles Davis was like when he was young. What was Miles Davis like as a kid?
He was very thin to begin with and very bashful. And he's standing here to talk to you. He couldn't look you in the eye. He had to look down, you know. And he always said, when he first began, he loved to play, you know, with a very wavy barada. And his teacher, who was Elwood Buchanan, was a very good buddy of mine. And we used to drink beer a lot. So he used to tell me before I even heard Miles or met Miles, he said, you got to come over to school, man, and hear this little Dewey Davis. I got his middle name was Dewey. And I said, okay, I got to get over there. So one day, a year or so later, I got over there to his school, which is Lincoln High School in East St. Louis, across the river. So I went over and I heard Miles, and I met Miles, and he said, well, how you doing, so forth. So I heard him play, and I said, man, it's fantastic. So he was playing with these wavy notes again, and Buchanan had a ruler that he had developed, a long wooden ruler with a tape wrapped around it. And every time he would wave a note, he would pop, hit him with the ruler. He said, stop checking that note, you're going to check it off when you get old. So that helped to make him develop the puritanical sound, which he had.
Well, tell us a little bit about the tune Mumbles.
Well, Mumbles was, I guess it's a product of my hometown, St. Louis. There were several joints, we call them, or places of the refreshment, or dens of iniquity, or whatever you want to call them. But they all had a piano, which was an upright piano, which, of course, was triply laminated by for the top for the use of putting beer on. Most of the salary was beer for the piano player, you know. He had to be a good beer drinker. So his whole top of his piano was lined with beer mugs. And if you brought him a stand of beer, he'd nod and sit it there, you know, and he'd pay an introduction for you. And he was very, very non-talented type of pianist because it's for non-knowledgeable. And they played everything in F sharp. Yeah, and you had to sing in that key or else you couldn't sing. That's the only key he would play in. But he would make an introduction, and whoever you were going to sing, whatever you were going to sing about, it didn't matter. He would make the introduction, and you start singing. And the way the Mumbles was born, one guy decided to get up and talk about the way he wanted his breakfast cooked. So he come and he'd made the introduction. And he starts saying, I want my eggs in the morning. And after the first utterance of what he wanted, it didn't matter what it sounded like. You know, nobody cared anyhow. Because the food, the fun, and the merriment and the frivolity was bouncing all over the room. Foot patting, hand clapping, and as Ellington would say, earlobe tilted.
So as long as there was something coming out of his mouth, it was all right.
Yeah.
Well, would you mind doing Mumbles for us?
All right.
All right.
She gonna love the little devil. She ain't gonna hang on him all alone. She got alone. She don't want no little lonely mom. She got alone. She gonna level. She don't need a little devil. She little little little. She be more love all around. She keep on the love down. If he was only give only God, only me, give only God love. She gone on the bed, down the ground, down the ground. She no longer like my own, down on like him, they grabbed him, they grabbed him. She do me the one who do 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 the one. Thank you. baby, won't you let me look at that? She ain't gonna name bing bong bing bong together. She pinched the hanky slice and the flame of the gun on its solid side. And it's blown for the hangers grown them on and on. It is grown the honey now. Now it is flinched with the scum of the hippie slices from the gubala. But this cable of the gun, but the gubala, oh, you take the gubala. He's a spring for the finger leg and the hoodie down. And the splash, the scotch munched on the gun. But the screw of the hang of the hingles on and on and on. And the fill of the hole for the splings for the honey cloud. And if the flings get down, we'll have. But you know what? If I keep talking like this, I'm supposed to get elected for the mayor.
Clark Terry, that's great. Clark Terry on 88.5 KPLU doing classic tune mumbles there. Thanks so much. Clark Terry,
thank you.
It's great to have you here. It was great having you here. Don Freeman, thanks for being here on the piano. It just always sounded to me that you were telling stories through the horn or on the vocals. It always seemed like it was a story, and that's what I think always sets you apart from me as far as listening to you. So great to have you here, and a true pleasure.